All right, everybody, we're back. Another day in a pandemic.
Yeah. It's Monday.
They better open this shit up, I'll tell you that. They're gonna open it up. It won't be that long, I don't think.
Well, like I said.
Man, I heard that they're having problems with, like, food production.
I saw an article about, like, a pork plant or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's several meat plants, and certain farms are just tilling the fucking produce back into the soil because the demand isn't there. Because, like, schools and institutions haven't opened, so sales have plummeted, which...
Yeah, you know, and restaurants and stuff right, like that, too, so they don't need as much product.
Right, and that's not good, because if food production goes under, you know what I mean, because they're used to having higher profits in order to maintain themselves... They go under, then that means when things go back to normal, there'll be a lack. Demand will, you know, be stronger than supply. So what I think they ought to do is either get everybody out there working again, or they take that food and they send that food to just distribution centers where they give it out.
Yeah, that might be the best thing.
You have the government subsidize it, and they pay the government buys the food.
Well, yeah, because that would be kind of like win-win. They right. would still get the money for it, and money. It wouldn't go to waste.
Right, and then you could just hand out free food.
Yeah, for people that need
But that might have a bad result, too, because that means that the store prices would start plummeting, because now your grocery stores have to compete against free food.
How many people would be able to access
all the free
the
food?
Free food?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they don't have all right. that much.
They ought to just, take whole truckloads of it, you know what I mean, and have places where you can go down there and get it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's better than
drive it down that. Through the damn neighborhoods. You know, take as much as you want. Eggs, evidently they're flushing all like hundreds of thousands of gallons of fresh milk are just flushing it. Demand's gone.
Yeah, it's like that's something that I guess I kind of thought about it, but then I was like, oh yeah, like because a lot of those food distribution companies, you only think about the shit you buy at the supermarket, but yeah, they have like whole. Whole branches supplying like schools and fucking offices and shit like that.
Institutions.
And that's not there anymore because everyone's
right.
kind of at home.
But and it's going to have to be there when it opens back up.
They're going to have to, they're going to have to like do something and then they'll have to like slowly ramp it back up as they, because I mean, what they're probably going to end up having to do is just like reopen things in like stages.
Right.
So it's not like a big...
They're already saying that the worst of it's over and that certain states are going to be able to open back up. That will help a lot, I think.
Yeah, so then that way, it's going to be kind of piecemeal, I guess, for a while. But
Heavily infected states are going to be closed maybe a couple more weeks longer. But I think they're to the point now where, what did they say? That the cure is worse than the disease. It's just time to go ahead and just open it up. It's nowhere near as bad as they thought it was going to be. Nowhere near.
Well, that's because most people actually did what they were supposed to.
Yeah. Well, and, they knew a lot of people were going to get sick, a lot of people were going to die. Just didn't want it all to happen at once. And I think that's over now. I think they could probably just let it ride. I mean, China's open.
Yeah, I heard that they were starting to reopen stuff.
Yeah,
that was like a few days ago.
I think it wouldn't surprise me if parts of Europe just start opening up. So I think it's over.
Well, we'll see. Like, it's probably the worst of it. It's over, but...
Never did get my check.
Nobody
ever seemed to get their check.
No, I didn't either.
And I think that shit got approved, but where the hell is it?
I don't know.
All right.
Well, I heard that they were mail... Well, if... I heard that if you, like, filed a 2019 tax return, which I did, obviously, and you had... direct deposit already set up with the IRS, which I'm pretty sure I did because, I mean, I didn't last couple of years. I haven't got a refund, obviously, because I've been freelancing, so I have to pay. But they have my bank account information. So I was told that I didn't have to do anything, that it would just go in there automatically. Now, they said that some people, they were going to mail them paper checks, but that won't start going out until May 1st.
Okay.
That's what I heard. I don't know if that's correct or not. So please check. I'm not... I'm just saying that's what I read, so I'm not really sure how accurate that is.
I don't think it's going to last much longer. I think that just according to what they're saying in public, they're worried about social unrest. Parts of the country are going to have to open up.
Yeah.
You just can't keep this closed.
Yeah, but as I said, it seems like if there's places
people gotta
where...
eat.
If there's places where it's not as bad, or they don't think that, you know, health services are going to be overwhelmed or something, maybe they can slowly start opening shit back up, and they just keep, like, the worst places, like, in lockdown, just so it doesn't spread anymore.
I mean, they'll be able to track it. They'll be able to see. And here's the deal. They don't know how lethal the shit was because they think most cases were asymptomatic. That means a lot of people have this, many more than people know. The people that get it don't even know that they have it.
Well, that's why they're so worried about them, like, infecting other people, because you might have it and not know.
I guarantee you, the infection is far bigger than they know.
Yeah.
I think it's done most of the damage. I bet you, how much you want to bet we have it, or already did have it?
It's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, haven't been going out that much, so it's less likely.
Before all this happened, I got sick, though.
That's true.
And that might have been it.
I didn't get it, though.
No. But maybe you did, but you didn't. It was asymptomatic.
I didn't, like, notice.
You didn't have. Well, there's some people are saying that probably it's mostly asymptomatic.
Yeah.
So you might have been sick but had no symptoms.
The only thing I've had lately is, like, my nose running, and that's because of the fucking pollen. Fucking damn it.
Yeah.
The pollen's really bad down here this year, and, like, I don't have allergies or nothing. It usually doesn't bother me, but it's like, holy shit, man! It's like the fucking car sitting in the driveway, and it's just like covered with yellow shit.
Did we tell them to go see VFW?
Yeah, but we did, like, I think we said that yesterday.
We said that yesterday?
We did, like, a whole, like, review of it, but that won't be up until, like, Saturday or Sunday.
If you guys haven't seen VFW, go rent that.
Yeah,
that
go watch
good.
That shit.
It was, like, $3.99 off of Xbox. Boy, it was worth every fucking penny.
Yeah,
it was like a John Carpenter flick. Had the John Carpenter style.
Super bloody.
Yeah. It was good.
Heads blown off.
John Carpenter style soundtrack and everything. I thought I was watching a John Carpenter movie from the 80s. Yeah, a good one, not a bad John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, because
there were,
like,
some
make
bad
a
ones. You know,
well, at least the ones that John Carpenter made, like, early, were so good that it completely overshadows.
Yeah.
Because I think some people that know, like, you know, the good John Carpenter movies, like The Thing and Halloween and stuff, they don't even know, like, about the later ones or haven't even seen them. Because some of the later ones I haven't even, like, really bothered.
Yeah, directors kind of have a half-life, if you ask me. I mean, they start off pretty good, a lot of them. The good ones do. And then I think their hearts get broken and they get a little too rich. And then it's just a paycheck.
You know who is an exception to that, though?
Who's
George Miller.
Mad
Max.
Yeah, true.
Because fucking Fury Road.
Oh, yeah. One of his best movies. A lot of people, some people...
That was, like, not only the best George Miller movie, probably one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, visually and just everything about that movie.
I mean, how can you not love fucking Fury?
But after a while, most directors, their name didn't mean shit to me. I mean, even James Cameron, like, he doesn't... That dude's word isn't worth shit anymore, I don't think. Terminator. That shit fucking sucked. He used to be good. But I think
in pretty much any art form, there's, like, a... This isn't true of everybody, obviously, but it's usually when they're younger.
Yeah, and they got something to prove.
And then, you know, then it's good, and then it's kind of like a slow decline. Not always, because there's some that, like, still make badass shit, like, when they're old, but it's rarer.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like your best shit is probably...
When you're young and you're dumb.
Yeah. Other than maybe novelists. I feel like people that write books... Sometimes their earlier books are not as good as the later ones. Not with Stephen King, though. Although I haven't read a lot of his new ones. I think the last one I read of his was Under the Dome, maybe, which was several years ago.
Although,
he's probably written 40,000 books by then that I haven't got to yet.
Yeah.
Knowing that motherfucker.
Although, you know, Ridley Scott was consistently good, I thought. There were a couple movies that I really weren't interested in. I think he did, like, some war-type movies and shit.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. But, you know, Black Rain and Alien and Prometheus and all that, you know, I like
He's always doing something interesting.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's a genre that you're not super into, like, it's
he takes
still,
it
like,
seriously.
An interesting... Yeah, he's still, like, an interesting...
Real into, like...
Yeah, he's, like, an auteur.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, he got older, you could tell he spent a lot of time drinking, but, you know...
Hey, I'm not judging, because I do that,
rah,
too.
Rah, rah. What are you talking about? Well, you know, you're talking about Prometheus.
Whatever,
and shit.
I don't even want to fucking be here.
I really liked the direction he went with Prometheus. I just wish he wouldn't have backed off on it a little bit.
Like Covenant.
For Alien
Covenant. I like both of those movies, but I can see what you're saying. I wish he would have, like, opened up the mythology and gone more, like, in a weird, like, arty-farty direction.
Shit has leaked about what the original script for Prometheus was and the backstory behind the engineers, and it was really fucking cool. It was really cool. But the studios didn't want to do it because it included basically Christianity and Jesus and souls and who made mankind, and it went into like basically the Anunnaki and Nibiru and all that. Nibiru.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was about. That Jesus was in the story. You're going to find out that the engineers made Jesus.
Yeah.
And other spiritual teachers to try to tame man, but then they decided they had to wipe man out and reboot the DNA process because we fucked up. They were too violent. They were sinful. You know what I mean? And then,
and then
you're supposed to find out what was written on the walls inside the damn alien ship. David could see it. It was outside the visible spectrum of a human being, but he could see like holographic imagery over stuff. Explaining things and instructions and stuff. So that explains why he was doing what he was doing, and who the engineers were and what was wrong with them. Because there was some shit wrong with them too. They couldn't reproduce anymore. They decided to transcend gender, so they didn't have any females of their species, but they could live for hundreds of thousands of years, but they were still dying off. So they had to try to reboot their species into a male and female form so they could reproduce.
Yeah.
And remember how they were in there and they had that alien, look like a statue of an alien up on the wall? Mm-hmm. What the story was going to be is that sometime in the engineer's past, an alien impregnated an engineer, and what popped out was that thing on the wall. They called it the Deacon. And it could speak. And it was like their spiritual leader. Well, the blood from that deacon could be engineered and mixed in with other things, and it would create life. So they were trying to recreate themselves with the blood of that thing. And all this symbolism about, you know, the blood of the Savior and all this kind of shit was all coming from teachings that the engineers were trying to pass on to mankind. The mythology we were taught was true, in a certain extent. That's what they're trying to. That's what the story was, but the studios were like, oh no, we can't have that. You know, I guess they thought it would turn off the audience, but I think that's the direction it should.
That's what
gone.
I mean. I thought that was like a really intriguing idea.
The idea was,
I liked Alien Covenant, but it did seem like a more just kind of like a formulaic.
Yeah.
Kind of, it was all right, but it didn't really have all the interesting ideas.
The original meaning and how the story was going to go was that the horror in the whole thing was that your religions that you don't believe in anymore, like Christianity, whatever, were actually true, but they weren't true in the way that you thought they were.
Just got a little lost in translation.
They came from aliens and shit. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which, like I said, that's not like a totally off the wall idea, because they were going on about that like back in the '70s with fucking Eric Von Daniken.
Yeah,
and all that kind
that's
of
what
shit.
He's talking about.
Chariots of the Gods and all that.
Chariots of the Gods and Nibiru and all that shit. You know, that's what.
Which is
talking.
Great. I don't believe any of that shit's true, but it's a great idea. Like it's a great basis for a story or like a mythology. And I kind of do wish that he had kept going in that direction.
Yeah, they may go back to that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you could still do that. I mean,
only Ridley Scott could really tell that story, I think.
Well, yeah.
And they fucked up Prometheus. They cut out some of the best scenes.
Yeah.
You could only get it on the Blu-ray. You know, but the engineer speaking and what it said and everything, you know. And had they left that scene in, I think people really, really would have liked that movie a lot better.
Whoever it explained a lot more. Yeah. Well, in a lot of cases, and I might have said this when we reviewed it, and we reviewed it a long time ago, but in most cases, I'm a fan of, like, you know, judicious editing, and it's like, you don't want to, like, over-explain everything to your audience and, like, you know, talk down to them or, like you think they're stupid or something. But in Prometheus's case, I think they cut too much out.
Yeah, they were stupid to cut that out.
So they left some stuff really, like, ambiguous or confusing when it didn't have to be, because they shot scenes explaining it, but they took them out because they were trying to be more esoteric, I guess. I don't know.
I think they were just afraid of the whole space Jesus concept.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't want religion to be in it. But the whole thing was,
or they thought that people would get offended.
Or they would go, oh, that's dumb, you know, or, oh, let's not talk about religion. I think that's what they were thinking. But they should have left that in there. It was like a religious horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
And I kind of like those.
Because I was, man, I tried to analyze that shit for fucking years. What the fuck did that mean? I know. It was like 2001.
Yeah, for like 2 years after that movie came out, it's like he talked about it all.
Yeah, trying to figure out what that was.
Trying to figure it all
out. I came pretty close.
Yeah.
On some, especially when I got the Blu-ray and, you know, the extra stuff of what the alien
There's
said.
So much stuff that they cut out of that movie, you guys.
Yeah.
So much stuff.
And they cut a lot of stuff out of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be in there. That's why Harrison Ford didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
Because all the cool shit got cut out. Studio didn't want it. About the fact that Tyrell was a replica and the real one was down at the bottom in stasis.
Yeah.
And you could talk to him while he was in cryostasis, just like you could talk to them in, you know, you could talk to somebody who was in cryogenic storage in Prometheus.
Yeah.
You know, they were talking to fucking Wayland down in there. I like Ridley Scott's version of the future. It's fucking weird. Weird and probably, you know, probably how it's going to go. The nation state's falling away and nothing but corporations, you know, corporations run everything.
Yeah.
It's like corporate.
They kind of already do.
Yeah. It's like what do you call it? It's like corporate feudalism. And yeah. we're just fucking serfs, you know.
Pretty much.
And they own the legal system. So they'd go to other planets and they don't have to apply any laws. They'll kill you on other planets and shit.
Yeah.
So they can get patents on things like, get a patent on how to create life. And then replacing human beings with replicants or robots because they're better than humans.
Yeah, because humans are such a
Because humans are shit. Yeah, that's, and we suck. That's how they think.
Yeah.
That's how they think.
We suck.
They're like, ah, fuck them. Obsolete fucking farm workers and obsolete factory equipment. You know, that's all these people are. We made them. And that's how corporate fucking
meat
trillionaires products. Think. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking
they
of...
They exist only because we allow them to exist. That's how they think, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Speaking of cool movies, we saw a really kick-ass one last... I can't believe I didn't see this when it came out. Now, Sophie sent us a couple of movies.
Yeah.
And we're only just now getting around to watching them.
Watch one of them.
So we watched one last night. It's called The Nice Guys.
Yeah, go
it came
it.
Out in 2016. I remember seeing a couple of trailers for it back then. Like, yeah. That was before we had AMC A-List and all that stuff. So this must have been, we must have gone to see some other movie, and I don't remember what movie it was. But I remember seeing the trailer for it. But I just never watched it, and I feel like it did okay at the box office. I don't think it made twice its money back. It made more than its budget. But this was, it was directed by Shane Black, the guy that did Lethal Weapon and Lethal Weapon 2. He was also in Predator. He's an actor also. And I believe he wrote this as well.
I think he did the new Predator too.
Yeah, I think he might have.
Shame on him.
He might. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
He did like a bunch of action movies in the 80s, and I still like the Long Kiss Goodnight and like a bunch of other ones too. But this movie was really, I loved this movie.
Kick-ass movie.
It was really, really good.
It's a detective flick about a detective who teams up with basically a torpedo. All right, a guy who breaks other people's. He's not really an assassin, but you could hire him to beat
He's like a hired thug.
Yeah, break people's legs and shit. And they get involved in this investigation having to do with, like, what was it, a senator and a porn star.
She was the head of the Department of Justice.
That's what it is.
Kim Basinger played her.
It's set in the 70s out in L.A., most of it. And having grown up there, I can verify that this movie is true. That's exactly the way it was in the 70s when I was a kid.
And it's weird because they didn't shoot a lot of it in L.A. They couldn't. No. They shot a lot of it in Georgia and had to build like sets and shit like that. But some of it was shot in LA.
They were driving around and I was recognizing signs from my childhood, like the Phoenix sign and like certain. I said, I remember that sign. It's probably gone by now because LA doesn't look like that anymore. I haven't been there forever. But looking at Google Earth, it doesn't look anything like it used to. But if you like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you'd like this movie.
Yeah, and this actually has the same chick, the same actress, isn't it, Margaret Qualley, the one that played the hippie girl in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. She's in this, too, playing like the girl that they're all trying to find. I have to say, one of the best things about this, one, I love the setting. I love the costumes. You know, I love how fucking balls to the wall, like the violence is very, really, really violent. You know what I mean? But funny, like it's done like too. In a funny way. Like it's like dark comedy, essentially.
Imagine if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was a detective flick that had a bunch of comedy in it and it was set in the 70s. Remember, I was telling on the main show, you know, maybe people didn't believe me, but back in the 70s, my aunt used to take me and my cousin, my aunts, we'd go up to fucking Yosemite out in the fucking Redwood Forest and shit, Camp Crystal Lake type settings. And, you know, I'd be walking. I was like a fucking 10-year-old kid, and then just a bunch of naked girls would walk around the corner. They were fucking skinny dipping and fucking nude sunbathing. That's the way the fucking 70s were. It was fucking bizarre.
Well, and I think this,
and they show that kind
this
of
movie
shit in this
really
movie.
Captured that, like with, yeah. you know, 13-year-old girl at like a porn party.
Yeah, 13-year-old girl at a porn party watching porn with the porn stars and shit. And she didn't think anything of it. You know?
Yeah, it's just like a funny, they really yeah. captured the tone. But I was saying, like, the best thing about this, and who would have fucking thought, the two main characters, played by Ryan Gosling and fucking, what's his fucking name? God damn it.
Oh, yeah, Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, yeah. The two of them are hilarious together. Funny. Like, they just have, like, this great, like, not in a zany, wacky, this is kind of like a Coen Brothers type humor. Like, if you really like Coen Brothers movies, you will probably really dig this if you haven't seen it. But now,
there's going to be a sequel to this too, evidently.
Well, he wanted to make a sequel, and it's actually the end of it is kind of set up. Like, they resolve this case, but it's like
it sets up for the next.
It sets up like it's going to be like a continuing thing. He's like, well, he's not sure that it made enough money,
okay,
to do a sequel. Although he really does want to do one, and apparently he's written one. Like I said, it didn't lose money, I don't think, but it didn't make as much as they were projecting.
They put so much money in these things, they all wanted to make $1 billion.
This didn't actually cost that much to make. Relatively. I think this was fairly small, but I think it was only like maybe $10 million.
That's not that much.
That's what I mean. It was only maybe $15 million.
You would think that it would make enough money over time with Blu-ray sales and stuff, but evidently not.
But yeah, it's like I had kind of forgot about it. I saw trailers for it back in the day, so it came out 4 years ago. And now I'm like really glad that Sophie said it, because I mean, she said it, she's like, this is a fucking hilarious movie, you guys have seen it. And I ended up loving it.
It's a good movie.
It's really, really funny.
Like I said, it's a good movie. It's a period piece. It's kind of like a detective, hard-boiled detective
thing. Yeah, like a noir kind of.
Yeah, but it was funny at times. But not zany. It's just that the dudes are fucking funny.
Yeah, it's like a black comedy,
like
is what
Goodfellas
it is.
Type funny.
Yeah.
Like from the movies Goodfellas, like that. But it's detectives.
And it's kind of funny, too, because, like, these two guys are, like, complete fuck-ups.
Yeah.
But somehow they manage to muddle their way through things.
Yeah. I would say the tone is, man.
It's like very much like a Coen Brothers movie. It reminded me of, like, an old Coen Brothers. Blood Simple was a little bit more serious, but it reminded me of like Raising Arizona a little bit or something like that.
For me, kind of like mixing Lethal Weapon in with Beverly Hills Cops, but it's a detective movie and it's back in the 70s. Kind of like that.
This is kind of like what Bad Times at the El Royale was trying to do, but not quite as successfully.
Right.
Although I liked that movie too, but I liked this one a lot better.
That's a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better.
But yeah, definitely check this one out. This is one that totally flew under my radar that came out 4 years ago.
Is there anything else we got to tell them about?
I don't think so. That's probably about it. So that'll wrap up our little Monday update.
Yeah. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.